Hello and welcome. It's good to be with you. I hope that you're having a great day, that you've already heard from the Lord. And I'm so thankful we have these times to be together and that we get to meet with our Lord. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day, Lord, that You have given to us and this opportunity, Lord, to meet with You. Lord God, as we live in these times, we need to hear from You today. Father, we need Your guidance. We need Your strength, Your understanding. Lord, I just pray, oh God, that You will speak to us, that we'll understand what You have to say. Lord, that You'll equip us to follow You. But Lord God, we need You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I am so thankful for this time that we have to be together. And this time is so needed for us. Never before have any of us lived in a time that is so full of lies and deceit and falsehood. Whether it's the media, whether it's the so-called news media, which most of which is really just propaganda, or entertainment that simply tries to dramatize that which is false, whether it's academia or education, most of which is really just indoctrination, whether it's businesses or corporations that are supporting, buying into, sponsoring that which is false. You know, we look around us with all of these lies, all of the deceit, and it's so overwhelming and defeating. But yet God Himself is the strength and the guidance that we need in this time. As we open God's Word this morning to Psalm 12, we find David living in a time where, frankly, we can probably identify with his words very well. That is, we probably have thought similar things. You think of what David says in Psalm 12 as we simply read through the psalm to begin with. It says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another, with flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things, who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?' Because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will preserve him from this generation forever. The wicked strut about on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men." As we look around this time of so many lies and deceit, and we're wondering what we need to do in order to live in these times, we follow David's guidance and instruction. That means, first of all, number one, we seek God in prayer. Think again of what David said there in verses 1 and 2. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another, with flattering lips and with a double heart they speak." You think what David is saying there. David says, "God, I'm all alone." We probably have all had that similar thought, or at least I am one of few. And to be certain, God, you know, there is a remnant, only a remnant, but God always has a remnant. And it's always easy for us to think we're like Elijah. But you notice what David did. He said, "Help." He sought God for strength. As we live in these times, we need to seek God in prayer for strength to endure, to withstand, to stand for God. And you think about what David went on to say in verses 3 and 4 as he thinks about these individuals that surround him. He says, "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things, who have said with our tongue, 'We will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?'" I mean, you can see their heart, their conduct. By the way, this gives us insight into their character. But as we see ourselves increasingly surrounded by such individuals, a society built that way, like David, we need to seek the Lord in prayer for His strength. Like David, our prayer needs to be, "Help, Lord," as we look at all these things. But not only do we need to seek the Lord in prayer for strength, but also we need to pray for righteousness. And this is so important for us. We often miss this. You know, we all want peace and unity and harmony to return. And yet we need to understand that there has to be a standard for those things to exist. And certainly we all need to want and pray and seek for unity and peace again. But that can only be experienced when there's truly a standard. You think of what we read down in verse 8. The wicked strut about on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. As long as there's that characteristic, there will not be any real peace. There will not be any real unity. And this is why we need to pray for God's righteousness to prevail. This is why we need to pray for revival and seek revival, both for ourselves and then for our churches that we're members of, and then through society at large. Because only when God's righteousness prevails can there truly be a unity and a harmony once more. And if we, as God's people, pray, God will answer. Notice verse 5, because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he longs. When we look around and we see our society, violent, evil, wicked, a society built and magnifying and multiplying lies and deceit and fraud, deception, we need to seek God in prayer for his strength, but for his righteousness to prevail, because that's the ultimate solution. But not only do we need to seek God in prayer, number two, we need to study God's word, not just for a head knowledge, but for us to live it, to apply it in our thinking, in the way in which we live, our view of the world, our world view, our actions in the world. You know, next week, if I'm not mistaken, we actually begin early voting, and we need to be applying biblical principles. We need to be seeking the candidate, the party, the platform that most mirrors God's standards, or at least, at the very least, vote against the one that's the furthest away from his ideals. But we need to, in fact, study God's word. Think of what we see in verse 6, why this is so important. We've just talked about the lies, the fraud, the deception, and yet notice what we see. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. God's word is pure. It's true. And I know there's an attitude today against that, the entire concept of truth. We have a generation that's been raised in thinking that there's no such thing as absolute truth. And even in the professing church today, there's really very little desire to know the truth. And so let me give you a synonym for truth that might help you. Reality. Truth is what is real. If it's not real, it's not true. And only that which is true is real. And only that which is real is true. And so when you're talking about God's truth, you're talking about reality. You're talking about what is absolutely solid and secure that you can build your life upon. You think about what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you think about those well-known, very familiar verses in verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You think about those elements there. God's Word is good and sound for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. I've always loved the way that Warren Wiersbe interprets those elements. He says God's word will tell you what is right, it will tell you what is wrong, it will tell you how to get right, and it will tell you how to stay right. Can you think of anything more important and urgent, critical for us in this time than to know what is right, what is wrong? With all the voices we hear today and all the fraud, all the propaganda, all the deception, to be able to know what is right, what is wrong, and if we have gone wrong, how to get right. And then once we've made that turn, how to stay right. God's word, true, real, like silver that's in fact been refined. But not only is God's word true, it's also the standard of truth. We can weigh everything against it. It's the ruler of every thought, every idea. Every time you and I hear an idea or a concept expressed to us, whether it's supposedly news, whether it's entertainment, whether it's in some academic setting, whether it's in some corporate setting, whether it's just in conversation with someone, we ought to always take that idea and measure it against God's Word so that we'll know whether or not it's true, whether or not it's real. We need to study God's Word, and we need to let that be the standard of our life and what we live out. And so we need to seek God in prayer. We need to study God's Word. We need to stand, number three, stand on God's faithfulness. Our God is real. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will lead us. He will teach. He will provide. You think of what we read in verse 7 and then once more in verse 8. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will preserve him from this generation forever. The wicked strut about on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Again, we look at verse 8 and we think, boy, that's a description of our culture. That's like an editorial of the times in which we live. But you think of the contrast. In spite of the way the world is, Lord, you will keep them. You will preserve him from this generation forever. We can count on him. And so we need to, in fact, stand upon God's faithfulness. He will lead, he will guide, he will carry. In this very confusing, fraudulent, deceitful age in which we live, we have a God who is truth, who is real, who is unchanging, who is faithful. We can trust him. Let's seek him in prayer. Fathers, we live in these times where almost everything we hear, O God, is a lie. And from the Father of lies, O God. Father, we thank you that you are the true living God. And that, Father, you have revealed truth unto us, and that you, O God, are the very standard of truth. And we can trust you. You are true. You are real. You are solid. You are secure. Father, may we seek you. You alone can be our strength. Lord, may we study your word, Father, for understanding and for guidance. Lord, may it be how we live our lives. And, O Lord, may we stand on your faithfulness. O Lord, you are completely trustworthy. May we rely upon you. Be with us, we pray, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Even though we live in very disturbing times, we have a God who is real. And I hope that you walk with him today. I hope that you experience his power, his strength, and his leadership. And in his wonderful grace, I hope that you have a wonderful day.